Tom Arjo at Olympic Boulevard. This is FieldPod.com. The Week in Georgia in English coming to you from lovely and lovelier downtown Los Angeles. Today is the 1st of September 2016. Hope you all said rabbit, rabbit. On this date in 1715, Louis XIV of France dies after 72 years, the longest reign of any European monarch. 1763, Catherine II of Russia endorses Ivan Betskoy's plans for a foundling home in Moscow. 1914, St. Petersburg, Russia changes its name to Petrograd. 1939, Nazi Germany invades Poland, Britain, and France declare war on Germany 2 days later. 1969, a coup in Libya brings Muammar Gaddafi to power. 1972, Bobby Fischer defeats Boris Spassky in Reykjavik to become the world's chess champion. 1991, Uzbekistan declares independence from the Soviet Union, making it the ninth Soviet republic to do so, led by Karimov, now no longer around, as they say. 2004, the Beslan school hostage crisis commences when children and adults are taken hostage in Beslan, North Ossetia, Russia. Birthdays are Edgar Rice Burroughs, Rocky Marciano, Alan Dershowitz, Lily Tomlin, and Barry Gibb. I'm your host, Mark Mullen. Podcast is written by Joe Larson, edited by Ari Swiecka. If you'd like to comment on the forum or ask a question, go to tepeelpod.com or send an email to tepeelpod@gmail.com. The person who tipped off police about the recent plot to blow up the gas pipeline in Saguaro gave an interview with Kvitis Palitra. He said the five men involved in the plot offered him a chance to participate, which he declined. They planned to blow up the natural gas pipeline that runs between Russia and Armenia. Chose the area near Saguaro because it's not close to any populated areas. He also said that Beka Bekaudi, the alleged mastermind, told him they would get $50,000 to do it and that the money was coming from Turkey. Another member of the cell, Vladimir Rukhadze, is active in helping Georgians go to Ukraine to fight against Russia there. He said in the interview that he doesn't know on whose orders the men were acting. However, following up on the recent suicide case near Samtredia, the prosecutor's office has formally charged Goderdzi Tvzadze, the policeman implicated in Demur Studua's suicide note. Before committing suicide, Studua wrote that Tvzadze had threatened and blackmailed him because of past drug use. Tvzadze is being charged with misuse of power, influencing another person to commit suicide, could face between 5 and 8 years in prison. However, he's gone into hiding. The court placed him in pretrial detention. The police are looking for him. Following up on the case of the soldiers who went missing near Gonio on the 16th of August, a symbolic burial ceremony was held for the two men on Thursday. This came after Turkish military crew that was helping quit their search, saying that they'd already exhausted all their resources. The Interior Ministry is still investigating whether negligence caused the disappearance of the two soldiers who went missing during supervised diving exercises. The Ministry of Defense announced it would temporarily halt military exercises at sea because it doesn't have qualified diving instructors. Central Elections Commission finished registering parties for the parliamentary election on the 8th of October. In total, 44 parties are registered. Many of them are divided into six electoral blocks. The blocks include the National Movement, which is running alongside the little-known European Georgia Party, Pata Burchaladze's State for the People, which is running with New Georgia, the New Rights, or Memar Trenebi, and the new political center, Girchi, or the Pine Cones. Burjanadze Democrats, which is a block of two parties, the United Democratic Movement and the Democratic Movement United Georgia Party. The Alliance of Patriots, United Opposition, a six-party block of conservative nationalist parties. The Industrialists, Our Homeland Block, which is led by Gogi Topadze of the Industrialists and Zviad Chitishvili of Our Homeland. And lastly, a block formed by two small parties, the Ours Party, aptly named, and People's Party. The Socialist Georgia Bloc, which was formed by Neutral Georgia and the United Communist Party, was deregistered at the last moment when the Electoral Commission decided that it had no authorized chairperson. 26 remaining parties includes Otsneba, Free Democrats, the Republicans, numerous other small parties who will each run on their own. The Election Committee also registered 26 parties for elections for Ajada Supreme Council, which are also taking place on the 8th of October. European Parliament Committee on Civil Liberties, Justice, and Home Affairs will vote on granting visa-free status to Georgia on the 5th of September. If they vote in favor, it will go to a full European Parliament vote. If passed there, it will have to be ratified by each and every EU member state before it goes into effect. Meeting of the Incidents Prevention and Reaction Mechanism, or IPRM, met in Ergneti in South Ossetia. The Georgian delegation is focusing on the detainment and intimidation of people living in near the administrative boundary line, especially the recent case of the village of Sobisi, when South Ossetian border guards threatened to steal crops from a local farmer. Georgian officials said the 12 Georgian citizens have been illegally detained since the last IPRM meeting on the 9th of July. Two are still in detention. They also discussed the case of Nikolos Sagidashvili, a Georgian citizen who's been missing for 3 months. South Ossetian authorities don't have any information about his whereabouts and said that he has not been detained. In travel to and from Georgia, Prime Minister Kvitikashvili met with Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev in Baku yesterday on the 31st of August. Azerbaijani Foreign Minister Elmar Mabadidov was in Tbilisi on the 29th of July to meet with the Prime Minister. Foreign Minister Mikhail Janalidze and Parliamentary Speaker Dato Utsupashvili. Prime Minister of the European People's Party, David McAllister, was in Tbilisi last weekend where he met with the Prime Minister. Defense Minister Levani Zoria went to Afghanistan over the weekend to meet with Georgian soldiers at Bagram Air Base. It's the first foreign trip of his as defense minister. Two members of U.S. Congress, Republican Representatives Duncan Hunter and Mark Sanford, were in Georgia this week to meet with the Prime Minister, Foreign Minister, and Parliamentary Speaker. They also observed conditions in the village of Kurvaleti near the administrative boundary line with South Ossetia. Interior Minister Georgi Mtebnishvili is in Germany meeting with the interior ministers of several German regions. They're discussing closer police cooperation and the perception in Germany that Georgian immigrants are a source of crime. Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, launched its electoral observation mission on the 30th of August. The mission includes a team of 12 experts based in Tbilisi, as well as 26 monitors from 15 different countries who will be deployed around the country. U.S. and NATO military equipment arrived in Georgia to be used in this month's Agile Spirit military exercises. The annual exercise will take place over a two-week period near Achatzige and involve troops from Georgia, the U.S., Bulgaria, Latvia, Romania, and Ukraine. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili promised that if Otsneba wins a parliamentary majority, they'll build a new highway between Mscheta and the border crossing at Larsi, which links Georgia to the Russian city of Vladikavkaz. The new road will use a tunnel system to pass through Dadiali Valley. Travelers will no longer need to pass through Gudauri to get to the border crossing. I suspect that will be a long construction project. Foreign Ministry condemned Russian military exercises taking place in South Ossetia, Abkhazia, North Caucasus, Crimea, and Armenia. More than 11,000 Russian soldiers were involved in the exercise in 18 different locations, completely surrounding Georgia. National Movement official Givi Targamadze was questioned by police with relations to a case surrounding crime boss David Gerliani, who was arrested back in June while trying to illegally cross the border from Georgia to Armenia. Police began looking for Gerliani after Targamadze released information about him being deported from Ukraine and returning to Georgia. Tbilisi Mayor Dato Narmania was giving a speech at a city council meeting on the 26th of August when he was interrupted by protesters. The protesters are angry about his allowing healthy trees to be cut down to make room for new apartment buildings. Local regulations say that only sick trees can be cut down, and that the protesters say that was violated 2 weeks ago when 40 trees were cut down in Sabratalo. The company that did the tree removal had a permit from the Tbilisi Ecology Department, which said that the trees were sick, which is not true. The protesters were led by Tsotne Gamzakhurdia, an environmental activist who's a son of ex-president Zviad Gamzakhurdia. He accused the mayor of pulling the wool over the public's eyes. Prisoner escaped from Rustavi City Court on Wednesday by pretending to be ill. He escaped while medical personnel were tending to his fake illness. The same man, Otar Veramishvili, escaped from a court building in Gurjani in February of last year. Good job, Otar. A wildfire damaged about 50 hectares of agricultural land near the village of Achaltsopeli in Kakheti. The Interior Ministry is investigating possible arson. Roughly 200 people got food poisoning at a wedding reception near Marnauli in Kvemokartli. Reports are that the guests got sick either because of bad meat or bad fruit juice. Doctors say everyone is okay in stable condition. Liberty Bank branch in Guldani was robbed on Thursday morning. An unspecified amount of money was stolen. No one was hurt. Two tourists, one Israeli and one German, were rescued over the weekend after getting lost near Mestia. They've been missing for 3 days. Geostat reported year-on-year GDP growth of 2.1% for the month of July, lower than year-on-year growth for the first 6 months of the year. which was 2.6. Georgia's first ever wind turbine is being installed near Gori. The turbine is one of several that will be built there by the end of 2016, costing about $34 million. The Gori wind farm is being financed by the government, European Bank for Reconstruction and Development, EBRD. The candy manufacturer Circoladi will start exporting products to Russia in October. The company is located in Bastati and Imereti, and their main product is a mixture of dried fruits that are coated in chocolate. They've also announced that they're negotiating with Dutch importers about selling products there as well. Representatives of Borjomi International met with South Korean importer Ankh Services Co. to discuss the marketing of Borjomi mineral water in the country. The water has been imported by South Korea since June, and now it will be promoted by brochures printed in the English and Korean languages. Also, Ankh Services, A&K Services Company, is negotiating with retailers to have Borjomi sold in more stores across South Korea. Eva Hatsia, representative of Japan Tobacco International, which imports brands like Winston Camel, Benson & Hedges into Georgia, complained that the excise tax on cigarettes is too high. The tax on filtered cigarettes increased by 20 tetri in January of this year. Cigarettes now cost more in Georgia than they do in neighboring Armenia, and Hatsia warned that smuggling will become a problem in the future. Racha has received a record influx of tourists this year, according to local hotel operators who spoke with Kommersant. The Sunset Shovi Hotel reported that occupants are up almost 40% from last year. Georgia is the third safest country in the world, according to an index produced by Numbeo.com, a website that specializes in collecting user-contributed data. Among 118 countries surveyed, Georgia was the safest after South Korea and Singapore. The index considered factors such as crime rates, how safe respondents feel while walking during the nighttime and daytime hours. Georgia won 4 gold and 1 bronze medal in the Junior World Wrestling Championships in Macon, France. The gold medalists were Zviad Pataridze, Dato Chkartishvili, Rama Zoidze, and Georgi Melia. The bronze medalist was Nugzar Tsurtumia. Chess player Nino Chomeriki won the European Youth Championship in Prague. The 18-year-old scored 7.5 out of 9 possible points to win her second consecutive youth championship, which is open to those 8 to 18. Parliament's still on summer recess. We'll be back in session later this month. However, parliamentary committees are meeting. A committee meeting was scheduled to discuss the bill defining Georgia's foreign policy alignment in the Constitution. Was canceled when not enough MPs showed up. It's sponsored by Nina Bourgeanadze. She wants to ensure Georgia's neutrality by writing it into the Constitution. The bill would prohibit Georgia from joining NATO or any other military alliance, calls for the removal of all foreign troops from Georgian territory. The meme this week is a trailer for the upcoming documentary film In Search of Stalin's Ghost that a lot of people were watching, commenting on. It looks like a very interesting movie. It's by Daniel Washington, explores Stalin's legacy in Georgia, and in general, how much of the Soviet Union still lives on. In Georgia, the central character of the documentary is Irakli Khvadagiani, a researcher with Sovlab who works on discovering the physical spaces where some of Stalin's crimes occurred. For those of you who have not taken a Sovlab tour of Tbilisi, especially around Tatsminda, I took one with Irakli, and it's incredibly interesting. You will not look at the city the same. So take a Sovlab walking tour if you can. No YOLO, that incredibly authoritative website, publishes an interview in Search of Stalin's Ghost with filmmaker Daniel Washington. Transparency International, the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, published an outline of the State Audit Office's report on the 2015 budget. They find some imbalances, including the practice of overspending at the end of the year, recommend that the government set up a better monitoring system. Madonna Gasanova of The Financial has a great investigative piece on the programming offered by Magti Sat, a television branch of MagtiCom. She finds that of the 43 channels offered by MagtiSat's basic package, 20 are in Russian, including Russia 24, which is owned by the Russian government. No EU or US channels are included. According to Gasanova's interviews with experts from Georgian Reform Associates and Georgian Institute of Public Affairs, this is a clear example of Russian propaganda being given a podium in Georgia. It's a good piece and something that people were not talking about as much as they could have. So it's not only well-researched, but also quite original. Take a look at it. Guardian profiles the Trans-Caucasian Trail Association, a Washington, D.C.-based group of people, most of whom have ties to Georgia, who are working on building an integrated network of hiking trails linking the Black and Caspian Seas. They're also working on a north-south trail linking the greater and lesser Caucasus ranges. So far, most of their work has been paid through crowdfunding. The entire project is expected to cost $3 to $5 million. Center for European Policy Studies, in partnership with Tbilisi-based Reformatics, publishes a detailed study on the EU on EU-Georgian relations. The 213-page report is subtitled What, Why, and How. It focuses on recommendations for deepening Georgia's EU integration, covering everything from migration to the deep and comprehensive free trade agreement, civil society, and dispute settlement. Bird in Flight has a photo essay by Dariko Sulikauri. Photos of a teenage wedding in Kakheti. The bride is 17, the groom 22. They met for the first time on the day of their engagement. Sulikauri took on the project in order to raise awareness about early marriage in Georgia, something that she is strongly against. Radio Free Europe. Radio Liberty has a photo essay on the first Chechen War from 1994 to 1996. Wednesday was the 20th anniversary of the war's end. Photos show both Chechen rebels and Russian government troops, many of whom are still wearing Red Army insignia. Photos depict Grozny, which is almost entirely razed to the ground. Those who've been around Tbilisi for a long time will know some of the photographers. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty also has an article about Abkhazia's recent government shakeup. President Raul Khajimba replaced Prime Minister Artur Mikbaya and Beslan Bartsis, brought in a new finance minister and interior minister, replaced some smaller offices. The shakeup is allegedly to deflect criticism from the opposition, which earlier this year sponsored a referendum on holding a snap presidential election, which was a big mess, we reported on earlier. Referendum results were declared void because so few participated because it took place in a few days, but Khajimba's position is evidently still quite shaky. Social Science in the Caucasus looks at internet use in Georgia. 2015 was the first year when a majority of Georgians, 57%, reported using the internet at least occasionally. The age group that experienced the largest increase in internet use from 2009 to 2015 were those between 36 and 55 years old. New Yorker has a fantastic long-form piece on Sergei Leshenko and Mustafa Naim, two Ukrainian journalists who became prominent critics of Yanukovych's regime. They went into politics after the Maidan Revolution and this June announced plans to launch their own political movement, one that will have an ideological foundation. That's a novelty in a country where political movements are almost always based on charismatic or rich figures or charismatic figures with wealthy sponsors. It's interesting and is connected to a lot of the Georgians there, of course, including Misha and in Crimea. The Legatum Institute publishes a report on combating disinformation everywhere, but in Ukraine especially. They make some recommendations like the UN and NATO member states coordinating their responses to Kremlin disinformation, governments collaborating with activists, civil society actors, and media outlets. Governments also need to rebuild trust with their own citizens that break down trust that has made disinformation more attractive than it would be otherwise. Gary Brecher hosts a discussion in the August war on the August 2008 war on the War Nerd podcast, which is brilliant. It's available on Patreon. The podcast covers different war-related topics each week. The 22nd of August 2016 edition of the podcast, which is number 46, covers the August war by somebody who was actually there in Skhivaly and from the Ossetian side was actually there, and it's quite interesting. According to the World Economic Forum, Georgia did extremely well at the Rio Olympics. They published a GDP-adjusted medal count. Georgia won 19.66 medals per $100 billion of GDP. That puts them fourth after Grenada, Jamaica, and the Bahamas. By contrast, the United States, which was the overall medal winner, won only 0.67 medals per $100 billion of GDP. Andrew North writes in the Culinary Backstreets about Shavi Lomi, a restaurant in Sololaki that has the perfect option for a group of people who can't decide what to order: the gobi or friends bowl, a big wooden bowl that contains a number of different dishes, most of which are native to Kakheti. Will King writes in Jocko FM about customer service in Georgia and makes some criticisms that all of us can relate to. Some such as when the waiter goes into hiding immediately after serving the food. He thinks restaurant owners can fairly easily provide better service and make more money in the process. They just need to take service seriously and realize that customers can't be taken for granted. Or can they? Calder Journal has a piece on subversive street art in Yerevan. They focus on performance artist Artak Gevoryan, founder of the group Counterstrike, which uses art to protest corruption and police brutality. Gevoryan was arrested last December for violating public order. Crime was driving around the capital in a hand-painted cardboard tank, and then crashing the cardboard vehicle into the National Security Service building. Tom Duvall writes in Carnegie Europe about the rapprochement between Russia and Turkey. He thinks it's much less significant than most commentators assume because the two countries are historical enemies with opposing goals in Syria. Still, both countries want to see multilateralism replaced with multipolarity, and that's a threat to both the EU and NATO. All this stuff to read is posted on the forum. Dive bar number is 1.7, the number of births per woman in Georgia as of 2015, which is an estimate of births over the average woman's lifetime. That puts Georgia 155th in the world, behind Russia and just ahead of Belarus. For Friends of Georgia in the UK, the Armenian House in London is hosting a lecture on the 29th of September about the religious practices that identifies Armenians and Georgians living in Iran during the Safavid period of the 16th century through the 18th century. Based in Isfahan, the lecture will be given by Dr. Edmund Herzig of Oxford University and is organized by the British Georgian Society and the Armenian Institute. Tickets cost £5. There's no need to book in advance. You can just pay when you show up. British Georgian Society also is putting on a workshop on developing university career services in Georgia. The workshop is at the Georgian Embassy in London, focuses on preparing graduating students to enter the working world. It's led by Paul Hacking, Martin Pennington, and Khatuna Tsakadze. You can sign up by sending an email to the British Georgian Society. The Georgian-born British pop singer Keddie Melua is touring this winter with the Gori Women's Choir. She'll be performing in cities around the UK, including in London on the 27th of November. Be sure to book tickets because they're going fast. Two Georgian films will air at the Scandinavian International Film Festival in Helsinki from the 7th to the 11th of September. The films are Exodus, a silent film about residents of the Chiatura. That one is by Vaho Janjidze, and Ninola, a film by Mariam Khachvani. That explores the impact of traditional social customs in Svaneti. Tiresome Georgian filmmaker Hak Goga Khaindrava has finished work on a documentary TV series that takes a critical look at the national movement. The series is called Herokratia and will air in Georgian language on GDS starting from the 6th of September. Very well timed, of course. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tabeelpod@gmail.com. Post to the forum on our website, www.tabeelpod.com. We got elections coming up. Go ahead and ask questions because you're emailing me questions more than posting them on the forum. So let's hear it before the vote. We'll finish with 1971 from London. This is The Who and Behind Blue Eyes.
What it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man, behind blue eyes. No one knows what it's like to be hated, to be faded, to telling only lies. But my dreams, empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours only lonely. My love is vengeance that's never free. No one knows what it's like to feel these feelings like I do, and I blame you. No one bites back as hard on their anger.
none of my pain and woe can show through. But my dreams, they aren't as empty as my conscience seems to be. I have hours only lonely. My love is vengeance that's never free. Crack it open before I use it, lose my cool. When I smile, tell me some bad news before I laugh and act like a fool. And if I swallow anything evil, put your finger down my throat. And if I shiver, please give me a blanket. Bad man, to be the sad man
behind blue eyes.